Today with Joseph Prince.
You are in the Spirit because God's Spirit dwells in you. So remember that that is your true identity. But then we are battling with the flesh. And the very fact that you don't like it, you feel ashamed of it, the fact is that you feel frustrated, you feel depressed over it. You know, friend, that shows that you are truly born again, that you're a child of God. Now, Christian life is a life of being Christ-occupied, looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen, church? You are no longer you. Look at Jesus. That is your true self today. That's how the New Testament teaches it. Greetings, church. I want to welcome you once again to our New Creation Church online. Everywhere that you're watching, I'm believing God that as His Word goes forth, God will be glorified and you will be helped, healed, delivered, transformed. Amen? Because God's Word will not return to Him void. I'm believing God for that. And I'm believing that every time you tune in, you're possessing more and more land. Remember what God said to us the last time I shared about Joshua? God told him that there's yet very much land to be possessed. There's yet very much land. So when we look at the Christian life, you know, we find that there are areas that we don't even realize that God has made available to us. And it's all through the cross. And even then, when God unveils new areas, there are people who will dispute that area. And then there'll be, you know, battles going on. The devil makes sure that you don't possess that inheritance. We also shared that we are all blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in the heavenly places. Well, in the same heavenly places, later on in chapter 6 of Ephesians, the same book that tells us in chapter 1 that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing tells us that in the same heavenly places, there's spiritual warfare going on. So what do you reckon the warfare is doing? The devil does not want you to possess your possessions. But the devil is a defeated foe. And part of the warfare is to realize that he is a defeated foe. Amen? We don't have to fight him. Our fight is the fight of faith. Let me say that again. Our fight, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Amen? And three times, the Bible tells us very clearly to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about, having done all, to stand. Amen. So God wants us to just take our posture of rest in Christ. Amen. We don't have to fight a defeated foe. When we fight a defeated foe, we are just saying that he is not yet defeated. And the onus is on us to defeat him. No, my friend, he has been defeated 2,000 years ago, but he still has a mouth. And he will go around accusing. He will go around fault-finding. He will go around slandering because that's the name, the devil. The devil means diabolos. That means accuser. Accuser, the idea of a courtroom, a prosecutor at law. And we just need to know what are our gospel weapons. The armor of God actually consists of the breastplate of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And why is the righteousness part of the doctrine of the gospel so very important for us to possess? Because it covers our heart. Our heart is what is subject to accusations. And then we have our loins girded about with truth. We have the gospel of peace shoes. With every step, we possess more territory. Amen. And then we have also the shield of faith. Amen. By which we'll quench not some, not half, not 90%, but all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the devil wants us to do things out of experience, out of effort, out of ordinances and religious works, except for faith. Because he knows the moment we walk in faith, he's defeated. Amen. So our fight is the fight of faith. And today I want to share with you how to possess one more area in your life. You know, there are times in our life we begin to realize that, you know, this promise that Jesus gave us, he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. They wonder sometimes as we go along in our Christian life, how come I'm seeing the old foes? You know, when I say about the enemies of our soul, I'm referring to the sinful stirrings and the sinful workings and the outworkings in us that is not godly, that is not holy, that is not of Christ. And we see them coming up, and sometimes, you know, they come up in full, life and in color. And we ask ourselves, I thought, you know, I've grown so much in the Lord. And sometimes they come during our prayer time or while we are involved in some spiritual exercise. We thought that when we are doing these things should not rise up. These things should not happen. So what is the answer that God has for us pertaining to that? And many of you still find that, after a period of bout of a victory in your life, a glorious season with the Lord, you find that you thought that maybe you are on the mountaintop, you'll never be in the valley again. The very next thing, after a great victory, sometimes comes a great defeat. And it's because of your flesh, because your flesh broke out again. And sometimes your flesh can be quiet for a while, for a season, and then there's an outbreak. Why are these things so? There's a difference between redemption by blood and redemption by power. There are two sides to redemption, and the Bible teaches that. Redemption by blood is in Egypt, the children of Israel, they were sheltered, they were protected from the destroyer because of the blood of the Lamb. The judgment cannot touch them. In fact, the judgment has to pass over them. Although they are guilty, although they are sinners, because of the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. Amen. The blood speaks to God, and the blood says there has been a death in this house, and innocent has died for the guilty. And it's a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And the Lamb speaks of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who shed His blood. And the Lamb of God, through His blood, has obtained for us eternal redemption. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. Hallelujah. So that is redemption by blood. And everything, you know, has its foundation because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Through the blood, we are blessed. Through the blood, we are healed. Through the blood, we receive all the blessings of God. That is the foundation. But then in our practical life, in our daily life, there's an outworking of that redemption, and that's redemption by power. We want to look at that because the same children of Israel, just a few days after their protection, after the being sheltered, after being redeemed by the blood, amen, and they came out strong. They came out, the Bible says, marshaled by five, you know, the idea of orderly. They came out strong. And the Bible says also there was not one feeble person among their tribes. God brought them out with silver and gold. Not one sick among them. Hallelujah. The very next day. And they were on a high, of course, and they were rejoicing in their freedom. But only for a few days, because right at the Red Sea, in a place called Pi Hahirot, they were actually at a place there, and they looked behind, and there was the wall of two walls of mountains behind them. In front of them is the Red Sea, and then they saw in the horizon armies. You can see the clouds of Pharaoh's armies coming towards them, and Pharaoh is amongst them, and Pharaoh has chosen his choice chariots and 600 of other chariots and his captains, the very best of his soldiers. And he has brought them to kill the children of Israel in the wilderness. So the Bible says that in this particular passage, you read carefully, the Bible says that the Lord hardened his heart. And people wonder something like, well, you know, if the Lord hardened his heart, I mean, who can resist God's will, right? But that's not the thing. If you study carefully about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, you go to the very first beginning, the first occurrence of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, you find that Pharaoh hardened his heart in the first occurrence. And twice after that, three times in the first, it was Pharaoh who hardened his own heart three times before it says, the Lord hardened his heart. Okay, it's like God saying, okay, if that is how you want to do it, if that's how you want to show it, amen, hardening your heart, I'm going to glorify my name through your hardened heart. Amen. I'm keeping it hardened, and I'm going to show you, amen, the glory of God. So God will save His people, amen, even through the hardened heart of Pharaoh and show forth his glory. So the enemies came, and here is a picture here that we need to understand that all the events, all the stories in the Old Testament are types for us to learn today. Friend, there is yet very much land to be possessed. And the Bible says clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, now all these things happen to them as types, tupos in the Greek, types, and they have been written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. If you look at verse 1 and 2, it tells us very clearly that it's referring to the Red Sea event as well. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So we see here, all these things happen to them as types for us today, upon whom the end of the ages are come. We today can learn from this story. So we see redemption by blood when they were in Egypt on the night of the Passover. Now we are about to see redemption by power. God is about to demonstrate his power in rescuing his people from their enemies. You see, even though they were redeemed by the blood, Pharaoh was still around, and his armies, his murderous armies are still around. And it took only one or two days for them to just change their hearts, and then they are after the children of Israel again. And this time around, they are hell-bent on killing them. They want to bring them, some of them, back as slaves, but kill the rest. And you know that without God, Israel would have been lost. So as we look at the Red Sea event, there are lessons there for us to learn today about how God redeems us by power. From all those things that I talked to you about just now, we have our daily conflict. We have sinful stirrings coming up. We have all these tendencies that we thought is over because we are now baptized in the Holy Spirit. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ. How do I deal with these things? And they look so strong. They look so real. And they're staring me in my face. Sometimes I feel so ashamed. I feel so weak. I cannot overcome them. And friend, you are right. You cannot overcome them. I cannot overcome them. But God has an answer for us in this story of the Red Sea. You see, friend, God has sheltered them and protected them and redeemed them by the blood of the Lamb. But the enemies are still around. In other words, even though we are safe, we still have the flesh. Now, when I say the flesh, I want to, in case people misunderstand what the flesh, they always think of the flesh as the body. The flesh, though, is in the body, right? The flesh is the part of us that actually we inherited from Adam, all the way from Adam, okay? And every child is born with that flesh, with that part of them. Some people call it the sinful nature. Okay, the sinful nature. Some call it the old man. And in other words, it's a man from Adam, not a man in Christ. Many of us today who are safe, who are watching this right now, you are now a brand new creation in Christ. You are no more the old man from the stock of Adam. You are now a brand new man. Now, we'll come to that presently, but suffice for us to say this for now, that we need to understand the flesh is the part of us that wants to do wrong, that wants to sin. Now, child of God, let me just rest your heart here. You are not the flesh. You are not the flesh. In Romans 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We all know that. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But child of God, listen, you are not in the flesh. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And the criterion, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So if you have the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, and I know that you do, if you put your faith in Christ, then you are no more in the flesh, but the flesh is in you. Amen? Just if I have a little splinter in my finger, I'm not a piece of wood. Amen? Even though the splinter is in me, right, in my finger, but I am not a piece of wood. Amen? You are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit because God's Spirit dwells in you. So remember that is your true identity. But then we are battling with the flesh. And the very fact that you don't like it, the fact that you feel ashamed of it, the fact is that you feel frustrated, you feel depressed over it when it rises up, and sometimes you indulge in it and you feel even more depressed after that. You know, friend, that shows that you are truly born again, that you're a child of God. But we don't want to live a defeated life either. Amen. Has God made provision for us? Indeed, He has. Hallelujah. Amen. Like the Apostle Paul, he was struggling in this struggle and he was saying, you know, the good I want to do, I do it not. But the evil I don't want to do, I am doing. Now, if I do that which I don't want to do, it shows that it is not me. It's not I that do it. It sounds like a cop-out, but Paul is saying the real me is not the one involved, because the real me is not the flesh. The real me is in the spirit, the new creation, right? So he says that, but sin that dwelleth in me. So Paul made a remarkable statement when Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Child of God, please don't go through a series of long experiences, you know, in your life and wasting your time in the wilderness to discover that in your flesh dwells no good thing. Rest now, amen? See your flesh as in your flesh dwells no good thing, amen? And some people, they can condemn the dark side of the flesh, the negative part, but when the flesh wants to do good, when the flesh wants to be religious, when the flesh wants to perform something that they feel is noble, it's okay, amen? No, friend, the flesh, when the flesh is allowed to operate, when it does these things that is noble or righteous or good, it actually is a form of self-righteousness, because he always takes pride in this. He takes pride in the good that he does. Amen? But on the other hand, the negative part is condemning himself, looking at himself, being self-occupied, being depressed. Both are being self-occupied. Both are focused on self and not on Christ. And our Christian life is a life of being Christ-occupied, looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen, church? Because if you can receive this, this is amazing truth. The day that you discover this revelation, child of God, you'll be so blessed. You know, it's like heaven on earth. When I discovered this, it's like heaven on earth, because it's like the Spirit of God is telling me, you are no longer you. Look at Jesus. That is your true self today. That's how the New Testament teaches it. Our life, when Christ, who is our life, notice Christ, who is our life, you are no longer in yourself, you are in Christ. In other words, in Christ means as He is, so are we in this world. Amen? As we are in Christ risen, where is He now? He is risen. Amen? He is ascended. He has been glorified at the Father's right hand. As He is today, so am I in this world. And God ordained it in such a way that Jesus, glorious person who has been glorified by the Father, God ordained that His body is made up of the many-membered body of Christ, of which you are part of it. Amen. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. It wasn't long ago. In fact, it is quite long now. I always think of myself as always the same age. Hallelujah. Amen. But some time ago, I think of that event, that where I was and what I was reading, when this revelation of this verse, we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones, just jumped out at me. And the Lord says, why are you believing that I'm one with you in spirit, but not one in the flesh? Our bodies, we are one. You share my body. And that's what I mean in the night of the upper room, where I shared the Last Supper, I shared, I am the true vine and you are the branches. And all you need to do to bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit is to abide in me. Nothing for you to do. Just remain attached. Remain attached to the vine, and the vine life will flow. The sap, the riches of the vine will flow into you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Amen. And, you know, no branch bears fruit by struggling. You know, it struggles and struggles. Then a little grape comes out. No. Amen. The more you struggle, you restrict the sap from flowing. You restrict that life flow from the vine. So you just relax and realize you are one with the vine. Amen. And it is the responsibility of the husbandman, is the responsibility of the gardener to watch over you. And Jesus says his Father is the husbandman. Amen. The Father will watch you and he will cleanse you that you might bring forth more fruit. Amen. You just have to abide. Praise the Lord. So you are one with Jesus, child of God. If you can receive this revelation, today God sees your true self as Christ. Christ is your true self. I mean, that is amazing, that glorious Jesus, that beautiful Jesus, that altogether lovely Jesus, that Jesus that I worship, I love him so, amen, and that Jesus that I want to be more and more practically every day, and that Jesus who has been glorified by the Father, that Jesus who is risen from the dead, that same Jesus is my real self, amen, as he is, so are we in this world. Let's look at the verse again for our new friends that have joined us. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Remember these 9 monosyllables. As he is, so are we. Where? In this world. But where is he? At the Father's right hand, in heaven, in the Holy of Holies, amen? In the heaven of heavens. That's where he is, as he is. And I said before, if it just says as he was when he was healing the sick in Galilee, it's good enough. But as he is glorified already, amen, so are we in this world. And the more you believe that, it is not for you to try to make it happen. It has happened. As far as God is concerned, this is the greatest reality. Amen. In his eyes, God sees reality like no one else. Amen. We see a reality, but actually it is temporary reality. Amen. Like this chair, it's a reality. It's a truth that will last forever. No, it won't. One day, you know, it might be no more. Amen. Thrown to the junk. Amen. So that's what we call reality. If I can see it, I can feel it, I can touch it, it is real. No, my friend, truth is in God's eyes. How God sees truth. Amen. Because God sees truth that's beyond the natural into eternity itself. Amen. So the truth among all truth is that God says, you are one with my Son. I have made it so. When he was crucified, you were crucified with him. When I raised him from the dead, you are raised out of death with him. Hallelujah. When I raised him and made him to sit at my right hand, you sat with Christ, my Son. And you are now with him on that throne. Join heir with Christ. Isn't that glorious? And God says, I'll never see you apart from my Son. And you know how the Father loves the Son, right? I always say that you'll never know how much God loves you until you know how much God loves his Son. Because he gave up his Son for you. Amen. And the Father loves the Son. So just like Abraham, the story of Abraham, God says, take your Son, your only Son, the Son whom you love. You know, God had to say that because God is about to give up his Son, the Son that he loves. Amen. And on the same range of the mountains of Moriah is Calvary. And that's what I believe Abraham saw when the angel of the Lord stopped him from plunging that knife into his son. He looked behind and he saw a ram caught by its horns. You know, why caught by his horns? Because if the ram is caught by, usually a ram is caught by his wool get tangled. But then if his wool get tangled, he'll be lacerated and all that. And he'll be a ram with blemish. And God cannot accept a blemish sacrifice. So he was caught with his horns. In other words, he went in knowing what he's doing. Horns means a ram that's mature. And usually they know where are the thorny bush and the brushes that should be avoided. But this ram went right in, head first. Amen. Got caught with his maturity. Amen. He knew he was laying down his life for you. He came on purpose to love on you, to lay down his life that you might be safe. Hallelujah. So the Father sent him. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. And today God says, I have done it so that you are now in the beloved. Like in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Actually, the word accepted is not so strong because in the Greek, it is the word kari too. Kari is from the word charis, which is grace. Karitu is highly grace. It is used one other time. Karitu is used one other time in the New Testament. And it's when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, hail, you are highly favored. among women. Highly favored is literally one word, karitu. And the same word is used in Ephesians 1, where it says, He has made us karitu, highly favored in the beloved. It's not, it's like God is saying, it's not enough just to say in Christ. I want them to know they are highly favored in the beloved, in my beloved, which is Jesus. But, you know, just Jesus alone with God. God wants you to be convinced to know that you are beloved because you are highly favored in the beloved. And child of God, that's who you are. But we want to address this problem about these sinful uprisings and we don't want it because we are truly born of God. Every child of God does not want to see these things coming up, let alone indulge in them. We don't want that. Amen. Because we have a new nature. We love God, want to glorify Him. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. We know these things will only lead to depression and finally death. We don't want these things in our life. But how do we overcome them? So back to this again, we are now one with Jesus. But never forget, you went through the cross with Him. Actually, as far as God is concerned, you were crucified with Christ. Now understand this, child of God. The blood of Jesus washes away your sins. Your sins are what you have done, what you do. So at the cross, Christ didn't just die for your sins. Christ died as you. In other words, I was crucified with Christ. That I that is from Adam, with all its sinful nature, that I in home dwells no good thing. Amen? I accept it. I don't have to have experiences, Lord, to learn that. I accept it. That I is beyond repair. Amen? Beyond renovation. You cannot help yourself because that I is the factory of sins. Amen? It's the factory. God didn't just remove the products of that I, the sins, by the blood of Jesus, but at the cross, God removed the factory. I have been crucified. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now watch for this proviso. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So Paul found the secret. The real I that was from Adam was crucified. All right, back then it was the real I. But now the real I, and yet not I, but Christ, amen, who is my real self, is alive today. Amen. I am in Christ risen. Amen. My old self from Adam has been crucified. That's why Paul used the word, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I know some translations put there, I live by faith in the Son of God. And actually in the original, it can go both ways. The King James put, I live by the faith, not in the faith. Okay, and I believe, because it can go both ways, that I believe, and many scholars, Bible scholars also believe that we live by, not in, by the faith of the Son of God. Aren't you glad that it is not your puny faith, it's not your weak faith that you're living by? Whenever you feel, you know, weak in faith, just remember, I'm resting in the faith of the Son of God to carry me through. Amen? The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to read to you a testimony. And this testimony has got to do with what I shared about 1 John 4:17. As He is, so are we in this world. It's going to bless you. This testimony is from a sister from UK. She shares, a number of years ago, I wrote in with my praise report about conceiving after partaking of the Holy Communion and declaring our supernatural conception of a baby. The following year, I gave birth to my son, Judah. 4 years later, this same promised son was diagnosed with autism. I felt my world fall apart as I coped with a child who was mute, who didn't understand simple tasks, and who never called his father or me, daddy or mommy. It was like living with a stranger. I remember praying with my husband on the way to the doctor's office the day we got the diagnosis. I remember how lost and confused I felt when we were told Judah had autism. And I remember the Spirit encouraging me not to accept the negative report. Judah had been enrolled in a private school, but the school discharged him when they could not cater to his needs. When that happened, I felt so alone, even though I had my husband. When Judah was about 4, I searched Pastor Joseph Prince online and watched his sermon, "As Jesus Is, So Are You." As I watched, my faith grew. However, I still felt like Peter looking at the storm around me as I saw my son not speaking and displaying behavior I didn't understand. I went to the Joseph Prince Ministries website and read a praise report about a little boy who had autism and showed major improvements after his mother proclaimed 1 John 4:17 over him, which is, "As Jesus is, so are we in this world." I began to pray and proclaim the same word over Judah as well. I also asked him to proclaim it, but all I heard was some murmuring. But because of the word I heard, I didn't lose faith, and I kept proclaiming 1 John 4:17 over him. In that same year, Judah started speaking. He called us mommy and daddy before he turned 5. Today, Judah is excelling in school. Every night before he goes to bed, he says, "As Jesus is, so am I in this world," with clarity. Our God is a good and faithful God. All glory and praise be to you, O Lord my God. I want to encourage everyone to never give up on God, because he never gives up on our situations. Thank you, Pastor Prince, for your ministry. The words you preach are definitely from the throne room of God. May God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give God the praise and the glory. Amen. And that's the truth of as he is. Let's not just limit it to spiritual sight. You know, when I say a spiritual sight, things like as Jesus is righteous, so am I in this world. Glorious truth. Amen. Wonderful as that is. Amen. Let's also believe God for this land to be possessed, our physical part, our health. If you've been diagnosed with something that you find that medical science have no answer for, except for to take some medicine for some continuity, or yet even after that, you're not sure. You know, my friend, there's an answer in the Lord Jesus. In fact, he has accomplished it already. At that cross, he bore all your sicknesses and all your diseases. And today in heaven, he is without them. The same body, the Lord's body that bore all your sicknesses and your pains and your infirmities, rose from the dead without them. What does that mean? It's all put away. And at the Father's right hand today, he's free from it. So you look to the Lord and say, as Jesus is healthy in his brain, so am I in this world. As Jesus is free from high blood pressure, so am I in this world. Whatever your ailment may be, confess, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. Possess this physical part as well, because the Bible says we are members of his body, of his flesh, literally of his flesh and of his bones. You cannot make that spiritual, my friend. We are literally, it's of his flesh and of his bones. And Jesus definitely has healthy flesh and healthy bones, amen? And we are members of that flesh and bones. Hallelujah! We are one with Jesus, one with him. I want to share with you another testimony that came in, and it's going to bless you. Praise the Lord. And this is a sister from Australia. At the end of last year, my doctor told me that I had fibroids and polyps in my womb. The condition caused me to bleed a lot and also resulted in a lack of iron in my body. I was concerned and worried as my mother had the same condition previously and died of cancer. Through Pastor Prince's messages, I've learned about the finished work of Jesus on the cross and the gift of righteousness that I've received from him. I decided to believe in God's will to heal me and make me whole, and rejected thoughts that I'll end up like my mother. In the first service of this year, I was amazed by God's grace and goodness when Pastor Prince called out my condition during his sermon. Immediately, I claimed the healing for myself. The Lord also encouraged me during the service on 17 January when Pastor Prince said that the growths found in wombs would shrivel up and die. He also said that they would be found no more during future visits to the doctor. I was excited because I was about to visit my doctor. When my appointment came, my doctor ordered for another scan. This time, the scan showed only fibroids, but no more polyps. Then the doctor called for a medical procedure to investigate my condition more thoroughly. And that night, before my procedure, I felt a cooling sensation around my lower abdominal area that lasted for a while. At that moment, I felt loved and taken care of. The procedure went smoothly, and when the results came out, there was no mention of fibroids. The growths were gone, and I'm completely healed. All the doctor could say was that the previous scans could be wrong. Although I have had two different scans done at two different radiology centers that confirm the fibroids. Praise the Lord for His faithfulness. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. Amen. So let's possess this. Let's own it. It's reality. It is true. Amen. You are one with Jesus. But Pastor Prince, if I'm one with Jesus, why do I still have all this, depression that comes on me and I feel lousy and I have this stirring, sinful stirrings within me? Well, my friend, listen, that's the thing about our Christian life. The devil has convinced us that you are what you feel, you are what you experience. But our Christian life is we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight there represents experience, just like it represents all the five senses. So we say, unless I see it or unless I touch it, I will not believe it. Just like Thomas, unless I touch him, I will not believe. And Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Why? Because we limit ourselves to a world of the five senses. It's very limited. And we think that we have the truth because we can see it, touch it. No, it could just be a temporary reality because our world is so small because we are depending on our five senses. But my friend, faith is not saying, oh, the thing is not there, but if you have faith, it'll become real. It will be so. It will then exist. No, faith is saying, like the word imputation, the word reckon, is the word logizomai in Greek. It means to count it so because it is so. When Thayer, the Greek scholar, was going to define logizomai, the word for, imputation or the word for reckon yourself like Jesus. He died to sin once, amen, and he rose without them. Now watch this. I'm going to give you this verse right now in Romans chapter 6, verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. How many can say amen? Having been raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died, now watch this now, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise. What is likewise? Likewise means in the same manner. You also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And yet, we have people teaching that, you're supposed to reckon yourself dead to sin progressively every day, But my friend, this is not a progressive death to sin. This is once and for all. Why? In the same manner, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, the same manner as what? As the way our Lord Jesus died to sin. For the death that he died, in verse 10, it says, the death that he died to sin what? Once for all. In other words, you have died to sin once for all. When was that? At the cross. You and I, we died to sin once and for all. Sin has nothing to say to us, even though it's talking to us all the time. Amen. And we have nothing to say to sin. We are dead. We are dead to sin. We are dead to sin as much as Israel is on the other side of the Red Sea and all the enemies are buried. Amen. The enemies cannot go to the other side. We are on the other side of death in Christ risen. Amen. And where is our death and judgment? Behind us, not in front of us. For the believer, death and judgment is not in front of you, it's behind you. For the world, for the people of the world, death and judgment is in front of them. But for those of us who are in Christ, death and judgment is all behind us. Just like Israel stood on the other side, safe protected, amen, blessed, hallelujah. And they look at their enemies, and the enemies washed to shore. Look at this verse in Exodus 14, verse 30. It says here, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw what? Saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. The same enemies they were afraid of. The same enemies, though they were saved by the blood in Egypt on that Passover night, the enemies were still around. So God has to do something, because if the enemies are around, Israel will always have the fear, the fears and the apprehensions that one day they will fall under the power of the enemy. The enemy will go after them. You know, nothing short of death and judgment on the enemies will tell them one fell swoop that it's settled once and for all. Now, I'm not referring to physical enemies today. I'm referring to child of God. You have this physical, this stirring is coming up. These are your enemies. These are the Egyptians, men of the flesh. This is the flesh coming up. Amen. You need to see, just like Israel, you need to see the enemies dead on the seashore. Pharaoh and all his chariots and all his horses, all dead. All his men dead on the seashore. It's a matter of your Hazon vision, your perspective. Amen. What is God showing you? Are you seeing what God is showing you? Are you seeing what the devil is projecting into you? The devil wants you to see the enemies alive and well. All your sinful tendencies is alive and well. But Pastor Prince, they are there. They literally are there. I know they are there, but they're, you know, these are just like mirage. I know you feel them. But what you feel is not reality, okay, my friend? Amen? What you feel, listen, you know, feelings from God. Don't think for one moment, I'm just saying that we can live life without feelings, and feelings makes no matter. No, 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 friend. What I'm saying is that feelings is not the barometer for truth. Feelings is to be enjoyed, actually. God gives us feelings to enjoy. Amen? But then, when we are in sin, it goes the other side. Depression, fear, worry, stress, distress. You know, and that's not what God wants. But you can't depend on feelings. We walk by faith and not by sight. But Pastor Prince, this feeling is so real. When we go back to Romans 6, verse 11, Jesus died to sin once and for all. Where? At the cross. Amen. Likewise, in the same manner, reckon yourself what? Dead indeed to sin. So the word logizomai is here in verse 11. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in other words, if I see Jesus as my real self, I see Him on the other side of the grave. He is risen. Amen. So the death and judgment that He experienced is all in the past at the cross. It's all behind Him. And I'm in Him. It's all behind me. Hallelujah. I'm like Israel. I see all my enemies. But then, Pastor, how do you deal with those things when they stir up? I just say, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. This temptation of lust comes up. Amen. Lustful stirrings or angry feelings or depression or feeling of self-pity. All these are sins. They come up inside you and they want you to be self-occupied. Feelings of jealousy. Feelings of pride. When they come up, they look real. I mean, they feel real. Right? But they're dead. God's word is truth. You cannot remove God's truth. God says they are dead. God says you are dead to them. They are finished off at the cross. The same way the Egyptians, Pharaoh and all his armies are dead at the seashore. God wanted Israel to see them dead on the other side of the seashore. But instead, the devil wants your eyes and the children of Israel, their eyes, to see them alive on this side of the seashore. Let's look at that in Exodus 14. It says, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea besides Phi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, they lifted their eyes means they were looking at Pharaoh and his army, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were what? Very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So they saw their enemies on this side of the Red Sea. They saw their enemies alive. You are not there. The Red Sea is a picture of the cross. Okay? All these things are types. And you are not on this side of the Red Sea, my friend. You are on the other side of the Red Sea. You are not looking at all your sinful enemies and all these stirrings and outworkings of the flesh screaming at you. Indulge me, yield to me. And they appear so real, they appear so alive, and you feel them, you feel their power. But you know what? You stop and say, no, they're dead. I'm dead to them. I'm not trying to be dead. I am dead. You are not dead in your feeling. You are not dead in your experience. God never said so. You are dead in faith. And faith is based on facts. Logizomai, reckon yourself dead to sin. Taya says it like this. He illustrates, if I have $25 in the bank and I logizomai that I reckon that I have $25 in the bank, it is because I have $25. Taya, the Greek scholar, says, a logizomai, reckoning, like a picture of faith, right? Reckoning is not based on suppositions. It is based on facts. The reason I reckon that I have $25 in the bank is because I have $25 in the bank. So reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus, because it is so. Amen. Where are your eyes today? Apostle, when the feeling come, a temptation, I feel anger and all that, you gotta stop. And I'm telling you this, rejoice. Rejoice because you're not bow to the lie that you are this sin. You are this sin, and then, you know, God sees you in that sin. No, God separates you from that sin. Whew. I say God separates you from that sin. Look at this verse in earlier part of Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Notice that old man, someone said this, I know the identity of one of the men who was crucified with Jesus. Who is that? And he says, Paul's father. How do you get that? Well, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. And that's not the interpretation, okay? And I think that there's quite a rude to call our father's old man. Praise God. Okay, remember that. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So our old nature, that man from Adam, that man in whom dwells no good thing, that man that loves to sin, all right, that man has been crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he, now watch this, he who has died has been freed from sin. He who has died has been what? Freed from sin. But however, this word freed in the Greek is the word dikaioō, which is the same word used now that we are justified by faith. So then, being justified by faith, Romans 5:1, is the same word, dikaioō, dikaioō. All right, the same word used. So then, we being justified by faith. So the word should be justified. So you put, in fact, ASV, American Standard Version, put down, for he that has died is justified from sin. From is apo. All right, from is apo means separation. He that has died is justified from sin. So even though, listen, my friend, what does it mean? It means that even if the stirring comes up, God looks at you justified from that stirring, from that sin. God does not count that sin on you. Amen. Now you say, well, then can I indulge on it? No, true child of God who is truly born again wants to indulge. Many people who have fallen to sin, who are truly born again, are people who felt the power of it because they are living in a mistaken identity. They are not reckoning that they have died with Christ. They reckon, you see, how do I reckon that my sinful man is still alive? Is when you watch over it, even though you watch over it so that you will not indulge in it. By watching over it, you are actually saying it's alive. By praying against it, you are saying it's alive. By giving it importance in your life, you are saying it's alive. You are negating what God is saying and what Christ has done at the cross. You have died with Christ. Just ignore it. Leave it alone. Amen. And when it stirs up, don't act on it. Amen. It's a lie. That feeling is a lie. That's not me. That's not me. No, this is not me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm in Christ's reason. Christ is my real identity. I've died to all these feelings of sin, of these stirrings of sin and all this temptation. What if the devil provokes, you know, guys, lustful imaginations, guys, that come to your mind, things you have seen in the past or whatever. What if it comes, you know, there, life and in color? What do I do, Pastor Prince? Just laugh and, you know, if you need to do something, just laugh because it's dead. It is dead. Amen. And just feel fresh. Amen. That you are in Christ risen. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Don't feel condemned. Oh man, I had that thought. And the more you condemn yourself, the more you acknowledge the flesh, the more you pray against the flesh. As you are praying, you are falling into sin. You know that's true. You know that has happened. Amen, friend. So why do we find failures of every sort in this area? Because people are acknowledging the flesh. People are talking about it as if it's alive. They're acting as if it's alive. They confess everything that the flesh stirs up. They confess. And they're always in distress. They're always depressed because they're always acknowledging the flesh. They're not going forward in their true identity being in Christ risen. They are not Christ conscious. They are self-occupied. And that's the experience of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. Romans 6, he talks about death to sin. In Romans 7, he talks about death to the law. And that's you know, I've been teaching on that a lot in my messages in the past. And you can get a hold of that teaching on Romans 7. But Romans 6 is death to sin. You cannot, you know, in fact, you are dead to sin, doing wrong, right? But even doing right, the devil bring the law. But the moment you try to do right, you're acknowledging your flesh is still alive. Because the law presupposes strength in you, which you have none. Amen? Christ is your true strength today. Amen. So all our experiences in life, God is teaching us, in and of ourselves, amen, we are weak. And therein lies, the moment we acknowledge that, therein lies our strength if we see Christ as our strength. Now, also on the other hand, you don't just say, well, I'm so weak, and you're looking at yourself all the time. There's still self-occupation, but you got to look beyond to Christ. And if we don't acknowledge all these things, that we are weak in and of ourselves, then we will be going another round the mountain. Just when we think we are strong, we fall into a breakout sin, into an overt sin, only to humble ourselves, amen, to realize that we are not as strong as we thought we were. No matter how advanced you are in your Christian life, you will always have to remember this, amen, that what happened at the cross, the devil will try to say, no, it did not happen. Look at how you feel, all right? If you feel this way, how can you be dead to sin? Look at the thoughts in your head, right? If you see that, right, how can you say you have died to sin? Do you feel dead? That's what the devil would say. Do you feel dead? It's always feelings and experience. Let me tell you about feelings and experience. It will not hold you in the long run. In fact, that's exactly what happened when God opened up the Red Sea for the children of Israel to go through. The Bible says that the Egyptians, the armies of Pharaoh, assayed, the King James says assayed in the New King James, it says they attempted to do so. Let's read that verse in Hebrews 11. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Whereas the Egyptians, now by faith, they here, the children of Israel, they passed through the Red Sea. So even though they passed through the Red Sea, they actually had to have faith. They had to have faith as they walk that the sea won't collapse on them. They have to have faith that God is loving them. God is favoring them. If God opens the sea, no one can close it. Right? If God closes it, no one can open it, as the Egyptians found out. Amen. So when they walk through it, they're walking by faith. They're walking by faith in God's word, not based on their experience. If they go by their experience, they have never had an experience where the deep sea would open up and they'll back out. No, they walk by faith, just solely by faith, not listening to your feelings. You know, you're going to drown here. You're going to drown. And probably that's the foremost feelings that some of them may have. But you know what? They ignore their feelings and walk by faith in God's word. Because God knows, amen? God knows reality like no one can. And God knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. God God opened up the sea and they walked through by faith. But notice, by faith, there's faith involved. They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so, attempting, not by faith, attempting to do so were drowned. Now, this Greek word here, attempting, is a very interesting word. It actually means to try out by experience, by experiment, by experience. In other words, they say they probably step down first, all right, and make their horse step on the dry ground, you know, slowly and say, is anything happening? Is anything happening? It's by experience. How do I feel? How does my horse, you know, the feel of my horse on it? How is the ground? And for the soldiers who are marching, right, the ones you saw earlier marching, as they march, they are feeling, you know, is the ground solid? Am I feeling good or okay? Do I, you know, all these are a man trying to attempt, not going by God's word. So when they attempted, they were drowned. Amen. So friend, on the other side, they saw all the Egyptians and their horses and chariots all drowned. The Bible says that, you know, it's the song of Moses on the other side. The next chapter, Exodus 15, Moses says, I'll sing unto the Lord. It's the first song of the scripture, by the way. First song ever recorded in scripture. It's all about the Lord. You'll find this phrase again and again. Thy power, thy mercy, the greatness of your power and your hand. I will sing unto the Lord. That tells us, the first recorded song in the Bible tells us that the song must always be for the glory of God. Amen. God is center. Jesus in the midst. Amen. It's all about the Lord. Amen. In fact, from there, you find out that actually what happened when they walked and through the Red Sea, the children of Israel saw the wall of the Red Sea. They were like a wall on either side. Actually, it was frozen wall. How do I know that? Because in the Song of Moses, in the next chapter, it says here, that with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. Congealed means became frozen ice. All right, ice walls, congealed. The Bible says God blew upon the Red Sea and God breathed by the blast of his nostrils. You read just now, by the blast of his nostrils, he opened up the way. Amen. In manifestation, it was the east wind blowing all night, drying the ground for them. At the same time, it made the walls on either side frozen, frozen solid, and the children of Israel walked through. Hallelujah. Now, they were afraid when they saw the Egyptians on this side of the Red Sea. They saw the Egyptians alive. They saw the enemy. They're about to be overcome. Are you in that place today? So whenever temptation comes, amen, whenever these stirrings come really strong in you, you got to see your enemies as are you seeing them as in this part of the Red Sea, on this side of the Red Sea, or are you seeing them on the other side? All your enemies dead. That's redemption by power. Because if they were just redeemed by the blood, okay, which they were on that night, the enemies were still alive. And they will never have the security that their enemies will not one day come after them and kill them. But now they see for themselves. And God made it in such a way that when the Red Sea drowned them all. And by the way, I've been told that it's very hard to drown horses. Horses, for some reason, they are one animal that really know how to thrive in deep waters. But even then, it must have been a lot of water to drown a horse because they were all drowned. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. And God did it in such a way that God caused their bodies and corpses to all be washed right to the other side of the shore. It could have been this way, my friend. Their bodies could have been swept this way on this side of the shore. But instead, the children of Israel were on the other side. God wanted them to see. Look at verse 30. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Child of God, God wants you to see yourself dead to sin. Amen. See yourself dead to sin. In other words, all those Egyptians' sins in your life, amen, they are all dead. Even they come and you feel them, you feel their, it seems like you feel their power, you got to say, nope, it's dead. You know, I had this in a dream one time, you know, and I saw an image and it was so ugly. You know, I think it was a devil and it was huge and threatening and it was overwhelming. I was afraid in my sleep. But I heard a voice inside telling me, don't be afraid of it. Walk towards it. It's just a mirage. It's a lie. It's a lie. Walk towards it. And slowly I took some small steps and I walked towards it and I came closer and closer to it. And when I came really close, poof, it was gone. Completely gone. It vanished. And I heard this voice again saying, that's how it is with every temptation in your life. With every attack of the enemy, the devil makes it appear stronger, looms larger than it really is, defeated. And when you walk towards it, you face up to it, right? And you say, you're dead, you're not real, amen? Poof, it's gone. Now, friend, this is not mind over matter. This is truly resting upon God's infallible word. When God says something, it is truth. And God says we are dead with Christ. Not only that, we are risen with Christ. Hallelujah. You and I today are not waiting for a resurrection life. After we die one day, then we'll have... No. You have resurrection life in you now. You are already on the other side of death. You are on the other side of judgment. You are on the other side of this natural life. You're no more in the natural life. You are in resurrection life. You are in Christ risen. And this is one of the prayers that, you know, I encourage you all to pray, that we may know, ask God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may know the exceeding greatness of His power to us. What? The same power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. We are in Christ risen, my friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul says, we rejoice in Christ Jesus and worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. That's our Christian posture today. In any temptation, whatever trials, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. All our provisions are in Christ. We rejoice in Him. We don't look at ourselves. We don't look at our shortcomings, our lack, our weakness. We don't look at what we don't have. Neither do we look at our strength, what we have, you know, our financial supply even. We don't look to ourselves. We look to the Lord. Christ Jesus is my true supply. Christ Jesus is my righteousness. Christ Jesus is my holiness. And we look to Christ and we rejoice in Him. That's our Christian posture. And then worship God in the Spirit. And what? Have no confidence. Put no confidence in the flesh. Bad flesh, even good flesh. Okay, in fact, the good flesh is more subtle than the bad flesh. Many a time when people graduate from this, you know, they tend to stay here. But every time you are self-occupied, you actually focus on self. You are treating self with importance. And in a sense, you are about to face failure of every kind. Why? Because failure of every kind is tied up to the, you know, people say you are resurrecting the flesh. I don't think you can ever resurrect what God has killed. Amen. What has died at the cross is gone. Amen. But what happened is that in your own personal experience, if you treat the flesh like it's still alive, you are negating what God is saying. You are saying that God's word is not true. Then you will experience failures of every kind in your life. Amen. Depression, weakness, stress. Amen. And you experience indulgence in that sin. Like no power but to fall into that sin. Why? It all starts with wrong believing. Amen? And also God wants your perspective not to be like children of Israel, seeing the enemies marching towards them on this side of the Red Sea and then fearful, and the Bible said very afraid, but because they saw them alive. And God had to change them, redeem them by power. On the other side, that's where God wants us all to be. That's where God wants our eyes to be. That's where God wants our vision to be, to see our enemies on the other side. All the enemies dead on the seashore. So where's your sin? Dead. Isn't that glorious? Now, stop for a while and think to yourself. Even without, if there's feelings to tell you that it's dead, then you believe? Of course not, isn't it? You don't need feelings to tell you that something is real. You know it's real because of the integrity of the person who tells you. Amen. And the person tells, the one is telling you that you're dead with Christ is not just a mere human being, it's God himself in his word telling us what happened at the cross. We died. Amen. And let me close with this verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus, your real identity. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, not going to, not still in the process, but has, past tense, set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not in sinful flesh. Notice, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus didn't have sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, as a sin offering, Jesus was our sin offering. God condemned sin in the flesh. Listen, my friend, that sin in the flesh, that uprising is a sin in the flesh. That sin in the flesh, God has condemned. The very sin you hate, God has condemned. And what God has condemned exists no more in his eyes. What God has condemned is finished. There's a finality to it. But it's to our experience, it's not final. To our experience, it's still alive. To our experience, but to faith, it's gone. To faith, it is finished. It's dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Walk by faith, child of God. Walk by faith. And when you believe this, you believe that God has condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. If God condemns sin in the flesh, it cannot condemn you. Your sin in the flesh cannot condemn you because God has condemned it at the cross. And if you believe that, what's going to happen is that so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Notice in us, very important, not by us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So you begin your walk in the Spirit because you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The more you realize that, all of a sudden you realize that all those things you tried to keep by trying to keep the law, they're all being fulfilled in you. You don't want to steal. Amen? Why? Because you realize that you have greater supply than you ever need in Christ. Amen? You don't want to commit adultery. Why? God has put that love in your heart for your spouse. Hallelujah. And the very thought of being unfaithful, you know, sort of like, amen? That kind of feeling will come on you. Amen? That's the righteousness of the law being fulfilled, not by you, but in you. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This land, friend, that God wants you to possess. Not just rejoicing that the blood has redeemed you, amen, and sheltered you and protected you from the angel of death and from judgment, but here where in our everyday life, we see our enemies with the perspective of the children of Israel on the other side. Amen? Where your enemies cannot go through. You see, that Satan cannot go beyond death. He cannot follow Jesus in the resurrection. He cannot. He can only operate with people who are in death. Amen? Death is the ultimate. He cannot go beyond death. So the devil, if he brings death in times past and all that, that's all he can do. He cannot bring resurrection life. He cannot. So you are no more in his domain. You have passed, like children of Israel, you have passed through the Red Sea, through the cross. You have passed with Jesus, amen, into death. And when Christ rose from the dead, you rose. Today, you are in Christ on the other side of death where Satan cannot follow. We must realize this. One day when Christ, that's what the Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, will appear with him in glory. Notice Christ, our life. He's our real identity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that this has blessed you. Amen. If you can, just stand to your feet right now. And I want to invite every one of you who have never made Jesus your Savior and Lord, my friend, this is your opportunity to declare Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord and to receive him and all that he has done for you at the cross. Amen. His blood washes you clean, completely clean of every sin, past, present, and future. And not only that the blood has cleansed you, it has obtained for you an eternal redemption. You can never be lost. You are gloriously safe. And not only that, you will pass from death into life. Amen. Are you ready for that? Amen. That what happened at the cross many years ago will be a reality for you today as you take this step of faith. Pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that Christ died for my sins And I thank you that He took not only my sins, but also my old self, that bad self, that self that has no good thing, all away at the cross. And you raised Him from the dead without my sins, without my diseases. I thank you, Lord Jesus. That's where I am in Christ risen. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Father, I thank you that I'm gloriously saved. I'm a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you pray that prayer, you are now a child of God. Amen. You are safe. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Praise the Lord. And if you're suffering in any way in your body, all right, you have a physical condition that you're believing God for, I want to encourage you again. It's a season whereby there is an anointing being released for those who will declare, right, as He is, so are we in this world. It seems like there's a special anointing, right, to confirm that even in your body. Okay, will you do that? You know, if you have constant headaches or whatever, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that as you are free from headaches, so am I in this world. Okay, if there is a goiter condition, or just say, Lord Jesus, as you are free from this goiter and from all goiters, Lord, so am I in this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Do that as you're driving. Do that when you're bathing. Do that as you walk around in the house. Amen. Just thank the Lord. And thank the Lord for more things. Thank you, Lord Jesus, as you are not poor, so am I in this world. Amen. Abundantly supplied. Lord Jesus, as you are under God's favor, so am I. Amen. Praise the Lord. In God's favor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As you are far above Satan, so am I in this world. As you are far above COVID-19 virus, so am I in this world. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And the Holy Spirit confirms truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you do that? Okay. And for the rest of you, I want to bless you for this coming week. And I believe that the words spoken, in fact, the parasha, which is the prayer reading this past week for the Jewish people all over the world, is actually the blessing, the Aaronic blessing. I'm going to pronounce that again over you, but this time I'm going to believe God that God will release also a revelation in you. Amen. The spirit of wisdom to open your eyes to see that truly you are dead with Christ and you are in Christ risen. Amen. It must be a revelation. Will you believe God for that revelation? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. And this coming week, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord bless every single one of you with the blessings of Father Abraham and the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. And the Lord keep you and your families from harm, danger, from every sickness and disease, and from the COVID-19 virus, and from the power of the evil one. The Lord preserves you and covers you with His precious blood that He has redeemed you with. The Lord make His face to shine on you, see His smiling face on you. Israel always saw the hiding of His face in the Old Testament, but see His face smiling on you. To see God's smiling face on you, God's face shining on you, is to receive all the blessings and all the favor and all the goodness of God. Amen. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be favorable to you this week. Be favorable to you. You will see the manifestations of His favor in your life. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and your families and grant to you His shalom, peace, well-being, and wholeness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll see you again.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God. Today, receive this faith-building collection as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Call now and you'll also receive a bonus wall calendar. Discover how you can have bold faith to possess every blessing that God has given you as your inheritance. And start receiving His divine help, strength, and provision as you stand firm on His promises.
The rest of the spies talk about what they saw, the problems they saw. Caleb said, is a very, very good man. He treasured the Lord's words in his heart.
And for a specific gift, you will also receive the Grace for Every Day package, which includes the Give Me This Mountain book and study companion. Be encouraged by more than 9 hours of powerful content organized into short teachings to help you get the most out of the book. Discover God's ways of faith with this specially curated package and learn how to navigate life's challenges and emerge an overcomer.
He told Joshua, give me this mountain. I love it.
Don't miss out on this amazing collection today. Call us toll free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
It is on my heart today to pray for those of you who are facing financial challenges. Maybe you are struggling to support your family. Maybe you are in debt and you can't see your way out. I want to pray for supernatural cancellation of debt for you right now and for you to experience God's provision. Would you lift your hands as I pray for you now? Father, I thank you for everyone receiving this prayer right now. And I thank you, Father, that you love them. You know where they are at financially. You know those who are in debt and those who have made mistakes in the past and overextended themselves. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to supernaturally cancel their debts by your grace. Grant them their financial breakthrough and give them the wisdom to steward their finances. Father, be their supply during this time and bless them to be a blessing to others. Cause them to have more than enough to be able to be a channel of blessing to many and to establish your kingdom, Father, on earth, in Jesus' name. Now say, Father, I receive this breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to keep tuning in to our broadcast and you can watch our program online at josephprince.tv. It is a great platform to consume the gospel and allow the Lord to take you from lack to abundant supply in every area. And with josephprince.tv, you can watch our broadcast on all your devices 24/7. Sign up for an account today, and we'll send you an encouraging teaching resource as my gift to you. God bless you.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.